Good morning. So this morning I want to share a message on Till I Come. It's found in 1 Timothy 4:13. The thought is in the Bible a couple of times, Till I Come. And we just had the Lord's Supper this morning and we do this till he come again, till he comes. And so Paul had left Timothy in Ephesus while he went into Macedonia. And he said, till I come. He gave him some instructions. He left him until he came back again. The inspiration for this sermon came from a man that we invited to one of our church meetings. He asked what version of the Bible we use, and I told him the King James Version. And then he was very emphatic about that we should use the Bible while we're preaching. He was listening to somebody, and they never even opened their Bible. Never. I guess they had some kind of stories and whatever. And I guess that's not uncommon. But may it not be so here. We've had similar experiences where there's so little scripture used, and it was mainly just about man putting forth some idea. We've even been to a church meeting where the sermon was about a movie the guy just watched. It's just, there's a lot out there. And so this scripture, Till I Come, is concerning the things that the Apostle Paul wanted this young preacher, Timothy, to do while he was gone. He left him there for a specific reason. Like Paul was there with Timothy, and then Paul needed to go. He needed to go to Macedonia. But instead of them both going to Macedonia, he left Timothy there. And he left him there to do something. So if you're young and you want to be an effective servant of God, then let's listen to what Paul has to say to Timothy. And let's remember that a lot of what Paul has to say is correction. He wanted to correct some errors there in the church, and we can put out fires or we can prevent fires. But sometimes the fire has already started, so we have to put those fires out. But we can also prevent fires as well, if you know what I mean. So errors can get quickly introduced into any church in many ways, and we are warned about false teachers. Paul left Timothy there to do some things. So the rest of that verse says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, those three things he singled out. So I want to just go ahead and read that chapter of 1 Timothy chapter 4, so if you turn your Bibles there. Notice the first thing that he told him in that verse was give attendance to reading. Now, it's not always the case that the first thing mentioned is like the most important thing, but many times it is. So interesting how reading is before exhortation and then even before before doctrine. So 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So they once were in the faith and they've departed. And they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're listening to the doctrines. They're giving heed. That means they're listening to the doctrines of devils. And we had a conversation this past week here about doctrines of devils, you know, about making God appear like the devil, about God destining people for hell who have no choice in the matter, who can't come to God even if they wanted to, because God has predestined them to eternal torment and even infants and things like that. So turning the God of love into what I would call a devil. It's a doctrine of devils. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. That word is diakonos in the Greek. You'll be a good deacon. A minister is a servant of God. That's all it is. It's a servant. And Christ taught us that in order to be great, we need to be a servant. In order to be great in the kingdom of God, we need to serve others. He showed us that example. He gave it to us. He didn't just tell us about it, but he demonstrated that example of being a servant. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that's the job of a preacher. That's the job of any servant of God, is to put the brethren in remembrance of what God has taught us and God is teaching us. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. Here it is. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. What does that mean? He's the Savior of all men. Does that mean all men are going to be saved? No, but there's potential there. He's the Savior of all men. He's not just the Savior of the Jews. He's the Savior of the Gentiles, those that will put their faith in him. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Okay, so let no man despise thy youth. Do you think he meant, like, if someone, like, wants to, like, look down on you because you're younger, that you should, like, tell him how much he should not be thinking that way and reason with him about how he should respect you? And I don't think so. I think that not allowing someone to despise our youth comes by, if we're an example of the believers in word or in conversation, in spirit, in charity, in faith, in purity, they won't be able to. They won't be able to despise all those good things they see in our lives. And even if someone did, as a young person, if you have these things in you and they're abounding in you, faith and charity, and you have an excellent spirit, even if they do despise you, you don't have to let that affect you. You don't have to let, people say, well, those words were like water off a duck's back. It just rolls off. It doesn't affect you because you have been walking with God and you know who you are in Christ. And you have that confidence that you have the favor of God on you. You're filled with the grace of God. You know that God is working in you. And you know that God is working through you. You've seen God working through you. And that gives us confidence. Where it says, it talks about the deacons, they purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith because they're exercising themselves in God's matters, in the king's matters, right? And they're seeing God working in them and through them. And that gives them boldness, you know, when we pray and God answers our prayers, doesn't that give us more boldness and more desire to pray and ask God for more things? And what are we asking? We're asking for souls, for His glory. We're asking God to stretch forth His hand, you know, with signs and wonders, you know, and that He would work, that He would be glorified. And what did God do when they did that in the first century? The place shook. God was confirming, this is what I want. I want to do it. And in 2 Chronicles, there, it's 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the face of the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him. This Elijah's God still lives today. We sing that song. So getting back to 1 Timothy 4 here. So don't let anybody despise your youth, but be that an example of the believers in word, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That word in conversation means the way you live, how you conduct your life. Till I come. Here's the verse that I was for the title. Till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Those three things. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. You know, when you give yourself to God, and you give yourself to the things of God, and your mind is not a carnal mind, but a spiritual mind, that you're meditating on the things of God throughout the day. And, you know, God isn't just a God on Sunday and a God on Thursday evening or Wednesday evening, but He's your God. He's your everything. When you're meditating on these things and you're giving yourself wholly to them, your profiting will appear unto all. People will notice. They'll be like, what? Wow, look at that young man. He knows the Lord. There's authority there. You know, when they took note of the boldness of the apostles when they're there before the council, it says they took note that they had been with Jesus. It makes a difference. So, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Don't give yourself to something else. Give yourself wholly to these things, the things of God. And your profiting will appear to all. Take heed unto thyself. Now here's a warning. Take heed unto thyself. You know, Paul said, lest when I shall have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He says, I keep my body under. Paul wasn't exempt from the temptations that we have. No one is. And so he said, I keep my body under, lest after having preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So we never want to forget to take heed. So he says here to Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. We want to make sure that we're not corrupted by man's philosophies and doctrines of devils. So we want to make sure we take heed to our doctrine, that it comes straight from the Word of God, that we don't get it from sources that are a polluted spring. You know, we have a spring, and we want to make sure that nothing gets in there, nothing that will pollute and hurt us. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. If we do that, take heed to ourselves and unto our doctrine. But if we start believing doctrine and the doctrine of devils and giving heed to seducing spirits, then we'll be deceived. And that, don't be deceived, that doctrine, if we would start believing it, will lead us to a life of ungodliness. Evil doctrines don't just stay with a thought or a doctrine in your mind, but they lead to actions. For instance, we sin every day in word, thought, and deed, that evil doctrine. It will cause people to be careless about sin. It will cause people to think that they can't ever be victorious over sin. And so sin will have the victory over them. They will be bound by sin and think it's normal. So Paul, in Acts 20:25, he says, "And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore," there he is again. Now this is to the saints that were followed him on the seashore there. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." There are going to be casualties. We've seen them. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." And I really feel like that's the motivation for many false teachers is to get a following, to get people to follow them. Like it says, to draw away disciples after them. And that's why the heresy, that sin of heresy, is spoken of as a work of the flesh. Because it's fleshly, it's selfish. It's desiring to be a teacher of things that no one else knows about, no one else has taught before. It's a new thing, it's my thing, I have revelation that no one else has. And they draw disciples after them. "Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one, night and day with tears." Paul spent time preaching and teaching about the kingdom for 3 years in this place. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." That reminds me of exactly what Jesus told him on the road when he met him. He said that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is in me. And here he is somewhat repeating those same thoughts about being an inheritor of the saint with the saints and sanctified by that faith which is in Jesus. And then like Samuel, he rehearses to them because he's going to see them no more. These are his last words. He asks them, and he makes the statement, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel." Whereas Samuel asked about that. And they said, no, you haven't. Here he's testifying, "I haven't. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive." See, Paul didn't just tell them what to do. He was an example of the believers there as well. And that he didn't even want to be a burden on them, but he was their example in working with his own hands. "And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him." You see how they loved one another? And that's the testimony of the early church. I think there's some testimony, like one of the Romans or something said. Maybe that's in Josephus, I'm not sure. But I'll have to find that quote for you. But something about how they love one another. And here, they're falling on Paul's neck and kissing him and weeping, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. and they accompanied him unto the ship. Will people be weeping? Would they weep if they said, if they told you that, if you told them that they would see your face no more, would they weep? That's pretty challenging, isn't it? Because obviously, Paul, the Apostle Paul had lived a life, such a life, to cause people to weep when they said they would see him no more. Wow. That's a life well lived. Paul said, I've run the race. Right? I've run the race. I've run a good race. I finished my course. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, Paul says, Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Unfeigned, it means not put on, not false, but genuine. Unfeigned faith. The end of the commandment. What does that mean? The end of the commandment. The very goal of the commandments of God would be that we would love out of a pure heart. And we would have a good conscience. That means freedom from sin and walking in victory with God. Walking in purity with God. Walking in an open heaven with God. And of faith unfeigned. A genuine faith in God. That's the end of the commandment. If we had all those things, we're good. Good to go. And so, when Paul gives Timothy instruction, he tells him to those three things I mentioned. Give attendance to reading. I think we've been doing some of that this morning. It's a good thing just to read the Word of God. To exhortation, which is to emphatically give teaching and exhort people to emphatically share wisdom and admonishment and doctrine. To not leave off teaching, because not only do we need to put out the fires, but we need to prevent fires. So if we teach correct doctrine, then when somebody comes along and tries to teach incorrect doctrine, they will already have heard what the correct doctrine is, right? So remember that not everybody had a copy of the whole Bible back then either. So it was very valuable to do these things, to read the Word of God, to exhort them to follow, not just hear, not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. And to explain doctrine, to explain the teachings. Why is it that we do certain things? Why is it we don't do certain things? And so we trust that Paul was, that Timothy was a faithful minister of the gospel, a faithful servant. You know, if somebody asks you, are you a minister? I mean, you probably know what they mean by that. But you should be saying yes. Because that just means you're a servant. Are you a servant? Yes. They probably mean, like, have you been ordained and all that? But let's be faithful ministers, servants of God. I want to finish up with a verse in Revelation chapter 2. I'm thinking about Revelations, the first three chapters, or Jesus speaking to the churches and correcting some and rebuking some and praising some. And in Revelation 2, There's that same phrase, till I come. Let's see if we can find it here. So it's found in verse 25, Revelation 2:25. But before that, he talks about, this started in verse 18, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, and as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. The only burden that he was going to put on them was just remain faithful. You know, that's it. That's our task. That's the work we have, our burden. The work we have is remain faithful, abide in him. And notice that even though they're among or in a church and he's praising them, talking about their works, he's talking about the people of God here in that church. But they're saying there's a few people in that church or that are allowing some things, some wicked things. But then he says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, I will put upon you no other burden. Notice that God makes a distinction here between, he knows who is with him. He knows who is doing what in the church. And he's making a distinction between those people and the ones that are actually following him. He's going to judge people according to their works. You're not lumped in with the whole church, you know, and then just judged with it. But God is going to judge these people individually, as he says. So that's a blessing. That even if you're in an imperfect situation or even in an imperfect church where things are not going well and things are going really badly, let's say. God knows who you are. He knows what you're doing, and he knows also that you haven't given yourself over to those kinds of things. As many as have not known this doctrine and have not known the depths of Satan, Jesus is telling you, hold fast till I come. Be faithful. What do you do if you're in a church like that? You're part of a church like that. Well, I trust you're going to speak out against sin. You're going to address sin. But sometimes people in a church will not listen. The whole church could be given over to that, and there's just a few left. Then I'd say it's time to find a people of God. People who will follow the Lord. That you can actually be in a place where there's edification and there's a desire to walk with God in holiness. And where it's not a struggle, you're not struggling against your brothers and sisters, but you're working with them because you all have the same heart and the same mind. And I rejoice this morning that that's what we have here. It's such a blessing. To be of the same mind, to have the same heart, striving together for the hope of the gospel. That's a blessing. God bless you all.